We're here. Hi, Josh.
Hi, Forrest.
Hi, JD.
Hi, Josh.
Forgot Mark.
Hi, Mark.
It's okay. I know I'm not part of the triangle of love.
Who was this mystical fourth person? I meant to say mystery, but mystical came out.
Apparently he's a wizard.
Not a wizard.
You're a wizard. You're a hairy wizard.
you're asking me. He's your cousin.
Yeah. Anyway, JD, welcome.
Thank you.
This is Forrest and I's cousin and longtime family
friend.
I'm Forrest. Thank you. Yes, you are. Good boy. He
yes,
did it.
Yes. Yes.
He read his lines perfectly.
He did it.
I also wrote them. I'm proud of that.
I don't know about all that.
We are...
Is it plagiarism if I take credit?
If you didn't write it. Here to talk about video games once more.
This is I like them.
The Gamer Discretion Advised Podcast.
I like video games. You two like video games. And so does JD.
Sometimes, yes.
On occasion.
Yeah.
Unless they're anything but Contra and Castlevania.
He don't like that newfangled Xboxa. It's an Xboxa.
To be fair, I hate that thing too.
Yeah, you do. You're full of hate.
But what's there to hate about the Xbox, exactly?
The fact that it can't run at my house because it requires too much internet.
The controller is newfangled, and it's got two joysticks, and JD doesn't know what to do with them.
Fuck you.
Two joysticks?
Look.
This isn't like my 64 back home.
That's the problem, is that he's too used to... The gloriousness that is the 64 controller.
I mean,
that joystick is just so responsive, and he knows how to use all three handles that are there for some reason perfectly.
So he's part Japanese. You remember that comment?
You have a third hand, JD?
That's why it's built that way, because Japanese have a third arm. That's the only
that's
the only logical reason. We deduced it in one of our podcasts before.
We did.
So... JD is a longtime friend and family member of the Gamer DA union, I guess. JD, what kind of games do you play?
Last summer, I bought a Nintendo Switch. But man, that's my first console since PS2, basically. So there's a lot of stuff in between that I never even...
Now you can play games with more than 50 polygons.
Yeah.
No way.
Yes way.
What have you been playing, though? What was the last game you picked up?
I bought the Castlevania collection for the Switch. Mostly because I just like the old style side-scrolling games.
And that's kind of what... I don't know. As older gamers that sit at this table, no offense, Forrest. you know... I always find myself playing older games. And Josh, do you ever dig in the past or do you just keep going forward mainly?
Well, I bounce around. I mostly stay modern, but like I was playing Super Metroid on the Switch last week.
Why? There's no grinding involved.
I hate you.
I hate
everything about you. So I've been playing that and we have the Nintendo membership to play the classic games or whatever. So, probably once every 2 days, I play the original Mario Brothers. I love being able to... I don't set any records, but I can tear ass through that game like nobody's business.
You know, people always make a comment about the perfect video game, and they're beyond the original Super Mario Brothers, I can't think of anything more perfect than that.
Keep it real, son.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say Mario's 3 and Super Mario World are probably also perfect games.
That's true.
They're pretty good. They're pretty
because
amazing.
If I play one of them, I have to play all three of them.
He has OCD.
I have all three games lying around.
Do you still have your old consoles and stuff, JD?
I still have my N64.
Nice.
I still have several games. I got Star Fox, as I played the shit out of.
Played so much
Golden
of that Star Fox.
Mario Kart. Ocarina of Time, Majora's Mask. I have one called Nuclear Strike, but it kind of sucks. I bought it for like $2, you know, at a
Doom 64
rental store. Yeah, mm-hmm. Doom 64. That's awesome.
Yep.
Have you heard, JD, that Doom 64 is coming to Switch?
Yes, I have. I look forward to it.
Okay, well, there we go.
He knew about it way before you did, because he's cooler.
Like, cooler as in Frieza's brother, or... Yes. Okay.
That's the weird thing, too, is no matter how far forward we do go with gaming, there's always going to be that step back. I mean, you know, the Konami Collection came out, not just for Castlevania, but they actually put on an arcade collection of games, too, mostly shooters and stuff like that. And then they've also, Capcom has been notorious for releasing the Mega Man collections and stuff like that, too.
Oh, you can't talk about that without releasing Resident Evil 4 every 10 minutes.
Oh, on every platform.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The other one I forgot to mention was Contra. The Contra collection got released also by Konami as well.
Well, and they released a new one, Rogue Core.
Contra is that what it is?
Rogue Core. We used to come up from Florida on vacation, and I used to play with JD. We'd go up to, it was Macon back then. And we'd go up there, and I'd sit next to JD on, because back then, you know, the Nintendo got put up when you were done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When you were done, you wrapped everything up, and you put it away, because your parents weren't going to let you have the cables strewn across the floor. So we'd come up here, and, you know, JD, we'd play Contra together, and... In that game, as you your score goes up, you get extra lives. So even without using the Konami code, I would play with JD, and I had never played Contra, or I wasn't very good at it, so I would constantly die. But every time JD's score would go up, he'd get a new life, and then you can hit select and take that life from first player. So JD would never die, ever. You know, he'd be like, oh, this level's awesome, because you got the first level, which is a side-scroller, but then the second level is you're going down a tunnel.
Yeah, it's like isometric or something.
Right, and you're going out telling you have to duck the laser or the bullets and raise up and run to the next area. So, I had never got to level 2. Ever. So, here I am. I'm like, oh my god, JD's at level 2. Oh my god, he's at level 3. I don't even remember how many levels are on there. But
eight. I was going to say 7 or 8, yeah.
So, just hanging out with cousin JD, I could beat Contra, and I could go back and be like, yeah, I beat Contra this summer. I whooped its ass, you know? And like, I mean, I wasn't lying. I mean, I was. Yeah, but.
Contra and Super C each have 8 levels, but Contra 3, the Alien Wars, only has 6.
The best one.
I think it would be if it had more levels.
The best one.
I think it's a great game, but it's just too short for me.
The soundtrack's amazing for Contra 3. The soundtrack is
I think
great.
They all have really good soundtracks.
Really, really good.
Is it, there was a Genesis, was there a Genesis Contra also? Was it the same game?
No idea.
I don't know.
Because see, you know, back then they were, all those companies were notorious for releasing, like, there was a Genesis version and a Super Nintendo version. And I kept thinking Contra was one of those that also had that split. I can't remember which game it was.
I got one for Christmas from my grandma called Operation C, and that was for Game Boy.
Yeah.
And that one was a lot of fun, because it's, every other level was top-down. Like, level 1 would be side-scroll, level 2 would be top-down, level 3 side-scroll, 4 top-down.
It's kind of how a
and then level 5 was yeah, yeah, level 5 was a side-scroll. And I remember, JD, do you remember, because I had never played Contra 3, and you brought it down one time, and we and you played through that, and the same thing happened. You're just untouchable.
Yeah.
Invincible, because, you know, I mean, that's how old games were. You learned through trial and error.
Or have a bigger, better cousin at it.
There was. It was called Contra Hardcore.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
C-O-R-P-S, Hardcore.
The game's kind of goofy, as I recall.
But yeah, it was, I knew that there was two different ones that come out. And they did that with the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles game, too. We got Turtles in Time on the Super Nintendo, and there was Hyper Stone or something. I'll have to look that one up, too. But there was two different ones, and they were a little different. There was levels and stuff like that that were a little different as well. It was, yeah, the Hyper Stone heist. And it had a lot of the same mechanics and stuff like that, and a lot of the same levels, but there was still a couple levels that wasn't in one that was in the other one. I'm not 100% sure. But Konami was notorious for releasing two versions of a game. I don't know if they thought, well, we'll sell two different copies because people who own both these consoles or what.
All I'm saying is they got nothing on Capcom in their fighting games.
Oh, yeah.
Until I hear about Super Contra Turbo Edition, the new Challengers.
Right.
I'd buy that for a dollar.
Contra 2 Turbo. Contra 2 Ultra Super Turbo.
I want to see a Contra Turbo. I would enjoy that.
You forgot Mega.
Well, the Super, like the
and Uber.
The Super Nintendo got Street Fighter 2. Then when the Genesis brought their version of Street Fighter 2, it was Championship Edition. I don't know the differences in them, but I always heard Championship Edition was better than original Street Fighter. So, and then we started getting into the, oh, well, there's Super Street Fighter 2, and then, you know, Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo. And
yeah, that's what I had. It's the one I played the most of.
I always liked Fei Long because he looked like Bruce Lee.
Yeah, Fei Long, and I was always DJ or Cammy.
I can't play that game with anybody but M. Bison because I hate everybody else. I used to be Blanka because he looked like the Hulk, but now I think Blanka's stupid, and I wish he'd never been born.
Because the Hulk doesn't have electric shock power.
Yeah.
Street Fighter's awesome. I was always more of a fan of Mortal Kombat, though.
There you go, attaboy.
I remember buying Mortal Kombat 2 for Super Nintendo, and back when you guys were living on 3rd Street, I think it was, and we couldn't figure out the fatalities ourselves. We just played the game. We basically let the computer beat us, and once in a while, it would show us a fatality. Yeah, that was awesome. All right.
We had to get our ass kicked just so we could see someone get decapitated or get their spine ripped out.
It's pretty sweet.
I remember JD had Ultimate Mortal Kombat 3?
I think it was just Mortal Kombat 3.
I just had Mortal Kombat 3.
Yeah. Okay, and this is when you guys were living out in the country.
Yep.
Yeah, and we came up there. You showed me your poetry books. Do you remember that?
Okay.
Do you remember those at all?
Yeah, I remember the books, yeah.
Okay.
I don't remember showing them to you.
Oh, yeah, you showed them to me.
It's not really personal. Him showing them to you if you're digging through his shit when he's not looking.
Yeah, John. He handed them to me. I don't even remember anything that was in them, but I remember you showing me that. But that was the first one I seen that, because that was the first one that had little combos in it. Because you had that charge bar. And your guy could rush up, and then you could do a 3 or 4 hit combo.
Oh, the run bar?
Whatever.
It was a brand new addition, Josh.
Yeah, they put a button on the arcade machines, so, for the run. I sent a link. I was actually sending it more towards Forrest earlier in our chat.
Represent.
But for the Mortal Kombat 1-2-3 machine that came out, and they've got two different versions. If you go to Walmart and buy it, it's $2.99. It's a $300 and you get all three of them. But if you go to Costco has the newer version of it. It's $50 more, but it comes with a better screen on it. It comes with a different PCB board inside of it that lets you actually hook up your own external audio. Mm-hmm. So if you wanted to hook up a sound system to it, could, or better speakers to it, you could. And it also has a light-up marquee and a stool, and the riser, the Mortal Kombat riser, not the generic arcade one-up one.
Yep.
So,
for 50 extra bucks, I think that's a pretty damn good deal.
Oh, yeah. And the screen's better quality, too. Like, they switched manufacturers on their screens, and the screens that the Costco ones have are a better quality. It shows, like, the color fidelity. It shows the ones at Walmart, like, the video I showed him, it shows that the color palette for the original Mortal Kombat 3 versus what the Walmart arcade one-up's putting out, and they're more of a blue tint.
Yeah, the Walmart one is very blue, and it's not something you really see until they're side-by-side, but it's very blue.
Okay.
And the Costco one is more one-to-one representative of what you would get from the arcade quality. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was pretty cool. I if people are looking for one, try to find one at Costco if you've got one near you. So,
and yeah, in all honesty, I think Mortal Kombat 3 is the best Mortal Kombat game, or at least it's my favorite, Ultimate Mortal Kombat 3, Mortal Kombat Trilogy, Turbo Hyper Edition, the new Challenger.
What was your favorite Mortal Kombat, JD?
Probably part 2.
Word. 2 is where I was dead.
Word. That was Baraka's first appearance.
Yeah.
Baraka.
And it was his last. Until Mortal Kombat Gold, and he came back with staples.
Have you played any of the new ones? Like 10 or 11?
Just a little bit off and on with Forrest.
Oh, okay.
We played?
Yeah, back when you were with Mike.
I guess you weren't that worthy of talking about.
I guess not.
I'm just giving you hell.
Hey, you showed me your poetry. I don't remember that. I played with Forrest. I don't remember that.
It seems like a lineage of non-memories.
None of us remember shit, apparently. We got a real bad case of CRS going around.
Yeah, I have actually been playing the shit out of Mortal Kombat 11. I cannot stop playing as Scarlet. She is just too much fun.
You should go into tournaments.
No.
Okay. Well, that's the end of that conversation.
You call yourself a gamer?
No, I've been trying. You can't pull off a 98 hit juggling combo in the corner. What are you, a noob?
But quit corner locking me, bro.
Bruh. No, I actually spent all fucking day yesterday trying to learn tournament strategies, and you would not believe how precise and stupid some of it is.
So you're not as good as you think you are compared to a real player.
No, but I'm still better than all of you.
That's all that matters.
Right. I can beat my local group of players. I'm good. I'm doing shit here.
I was also playing against the button reading computer, so.
Oh, does it do that for real?
Oh, yeah.
I hate that.
Oh, it started with Mortal Kombat 2. You know how you can't beat fucking Mortal Kombat 2 without exploding it? It's because the computer can read what buttons you're putting in. That's and nice counter them.
That's cheap.
That's nice of it.
Yeah.
Super duper.
It has a couple of minor exploits. You can
right in Eberly.
Downright Eberly. Hey, Bullity.
Yeah, and MK2, you can sweep. You can just kill the first three or four people with nothing but sweeps without them even reacting to it.
Sweep the leg, Johnny.
That's all you have to do. But after that, you're done. There's nothing. There is no mercy. No moisey. Captain Sano shows no moisey.
I just watched that the other day. The Water Boy. Such a great movie.
We wanted to kind of talk about something. People might not notice it yet, but all the games that, you know, Konami has put out, I think they're going to try to put out. I think they're going to try to have a resurgence of all those old games again. Konami is trying to keep a foot back in gaming today. Did you pick up the Contra collection, or did you just grab the Castlevania one?
I just got the Castlevania one right now.
Okay. I kind of want to know how well they did the Contra collection. I wanted to know, because it's got games that don't even have the name Contra attached to them. So I wanted to know what the heck, what are those games, and what exactly is going on with all that, too. But I think Konami is, they gave up being in modern gaming and stuff like that to do pachinko machines.
That was the most ridiculous gaming or business strategy I have ever heard.
Well, you got to think about it. Pachinko is the major gaming platform in like Taiwan, Japan, even China.
But they had Silent Hills in production.
But that should point to you to tell you how much money they can make off pachinko machines. When they're deciding, you know what, let's just take this and make pachinko machines and not even worry about making console games because this makes us real money.
Well, I mean, that is true. People were getting into the mobile market because they were raking in unbelievable amounts of cash. So I'm glad it's not about the integrity of the product anymore.
It's always been a cash grab, kind of.
Well,
ever since Reagan.
You also have to look at, with Konami, they also had Hideo Kojima working on the next Silent Hills. And at the time, you know, their finances may not have been in check for them to make another Hideo Kojima production.
He has been known to go off the rails to make it the most unbelievable thing of its time.
Everything he makes has to be a little bombastic. Mm-hmm. In fact, he was quoted at saying not too long ago that, you know, Americans like first-person shooters, and that's the reason why Death Stranding didn't do as good here in America. It's not to say that it didn't do okay here, but I find that a little
kind of shallow and
conceited, maybe.
Yeah.
He has that persona to him. And don't get me wrong, he's a brilliant man. He's done some really good stuff. The Metal Gear series has been, you know, a pretty good staple in the video gaming franchise in history. You know, I mean, all of those games have been very well received. Mm-hmm. So for him to say that Americans are just into first-person shooters and that's all we care about, it was kind of a little heavy-handed.
Which is funny, because when Halo 3 came out, one of the people who was working on a game with him at the time brought it into the office and was like, hey, check this out. And I guess he has motion sickness, so he couldn't really look at it for very long. But he's like, see that plant over there? Shoot it. They shot it, and it moved. And he's like, not bad. And what about his day?
Right.
That's all, like, okay.
Well, I mean, that's the kind of thing, because whenever I
play he is attention to detail in person.
That's the kind of shit I do. I always, mm-hmm. if a new first-person shooter comes out, I shoot cups.
A cup, yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, well, does this move?
How many ripples does the water make if I shoot it?
I mean, it's not necessarily a game breaker, but I like to do that just to see Outer Worlds.
I did the same with Outer Worlds.
One of the first thing I did was start shooting random things in the game to see if it moves.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, it just
play Fallout.
Well, it's the same. Outer Worlds and Fallout. Space,
yeah.
But you want to know how immersive the world you're in is. Mm-hmm. I get that. I do the same.
I think that's one of the reasons why I pretty much gave up on gaming for a long time. Because with the N64, everything was like, you know, three-dimensional, and I was more of a side-scrolling nerd. Mm-hmm. Even though there's a lot of 3D games for the N64 that I absolutely love.
Yeah.
I was always disappointed we never saw a Contra game for the N64. Okay. I wanted to see what
they could do with it.
Yeah.
I mean, of course, by today's standards, we'd look back at it and be like, what a steaming pile of shit that game was. But, I mean, at the time, I mean, even Tetrasphere. Did you ever play that?
No.
Tetrasphere was cool. It was a 60. Was it a launch title?
It wasn't a launch, but it wasn't far off.
Yeah, it was pretty close to when
you did. You think, too, like, 3D games, as far as Konami's concerned, they did Castlevania. We were talking about that earlier, Castlevania 64, and about how infuriating that is. But you still take that series and you put it in three dimensions. Later on, they eventually got it. It was on the PS2, and I can't remember the name of it. Is it Lord of Shadows?
Lord of Shadow was on PS3 and Xbox 360. On PS2, there was Lament of Innocence.
That's what it is.
And Curse of Darkness.
Yes.
And those two were not that bad. I'm probably going to get like hate mail and my house is going to burn down, but I think Castlevania Legacy of Darkness is my favorite Castlevania game of all time.
Was it side-scrolling?
No, it was the sequel to Castlevania 64. And by sequel, I mean half sequel, half reboot. It's the exact same engine, exact same game, but, you know, two new characters, a bunch of new shit into it. All kinds of content. For a 64 game, you would not believe how much side content there is. But I like it the best, and I've played most of the Castlevania games. I think Bloodlines is probably my second favorite, though.
That's ultimately the instinctive story behind Castlevania has always been the best Castlevanias are the ones that most people haven't played.
Mm-hmm.
The harder they acquire ones, like Dracula X or Rondo of Blood.
Ridiculous.
Yeah. Like, it's not a game that you could just go to the store and buy. In fact, I think it was on TurboGrafx CD. One of them was. I think Dracula X was.
Yes.
Yeah. And how many people do you know have a TurboGrafx?
I'm looking at him.
Yeah, well, I mean, besides me, how many other people did you know with a TurboGrafx 16?
I didn't know that they existed.
I didn't know anybody growing up with a TurboGrafx 16. I had one, and I thought, yeah, this is cool. Do you guys? And everyone's like, what the hell are you talking about? You know,
it'd be like being the only kid on the block with a Jaguar,
right? Which we had a kid we went to school with that had a Jaguar, and it was like, you know, $600 console. So you're just like, holy shit. He's got a $600 console? Who the... You know, and then nothing...
The library of games for it was abysmal, too.
Tempest, Alien vs. Predator, there was a handful of games.
It had a really good version of Contra 3, but that's about it. That I remember, anyway.
Right. And it's the same way with a 3DO or any of those consoles. Like, they were so much damn money that who could afford all those? You know what I mean? So, and... I think the Jaguar was $600 when it came out. It was a pretty expensive console.
Wasn't it the first one to be toting around that it was 64-bit?
Yeah, but it technically was just two 32-bit chips, I believe. I may be wrong on that, but I think that's all it was just two 32-bit chips. in one console.
So it was a technicality.
Yeah, 64 bit.
It wasn't genuinely 64.
Correct. So.
Well, I mean, 64 wise, me and JD, sorry, JD and I, for a long time, had a rivalry for highest score.
On
Star Fox. Yeah.
We would always try to outdo each other. Because, I mean, in that game, you could get 1 point higher just because you got a 3-hit kill one more time than I did. Or so we were always trying to top each other.
And what's your highest score?
I don't even remember anymore.
Mine is 1732.
You might have me beat. I think mine's only 1703.
Oh, no, I've seen your cartridge. It's 3662.
Yeah, because that's because of the cheat.
When you use the Game Shark, it can automatically raise your score to the highest point.
Yeah, it just counts your kills automatically. It doesn't even go through the whole game and not shoot anything, and it'll still tell you to kill like 400 enemies per
level.
You're
amazing. It's like Dance Dance Revolution.
Resolution Dent Evil.
Dance Resolution. We have to solve the conflict.
Always like the end of Star Fox too. If you get like a lot of kills.
General Pepper. General Pepper, big puppy dog.
Like what?
What?
I think that is a perfect video game. You're talking about those. I think that is a perfect video game.
Yeah, that's right. Because your scorecard got transferred into a bill.
Yeah.
Because Star Fox is a mercenary.
Yeah. The more you kill, the more you got to pay him.
Yeah. So it.
You end up with like $14,000 at the end of it.
Oh man, that's ridiculous.
Oh, I'm sorry. Is $14,000 too much for saving the whole universe?
Shut up. Leave me alone. Get out of my house.
14,000 pesos.
Yeah. I give you nothing.
It's like
nothing.
$6.
Yeah. It's like $1.50 or something. But yeah, we had a rivalry going on in that. And then when it came to 64, because a lot of wrestling. Because back in the 90s, I was hardcore into wrestling. Monday Night Raw, WCW.
You were into wrestling? I did not know that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Just because, I mean, don't get me wrong. Your dad was the most amazing.
I mean, he was the best at everything he ever did.
Through osmosis, Josh accepted wrestling into his heart.
Well, even before your dad, I grew up watching WWF Superstars on Saturday.
Nice.
And they would always have, do you remember Jim Cook or John Cook? He was a nobody wrestler. He was what the business calls a journeyman.
Okay.
He gets his ass kicked so the hero looks good.
Jobber. Called jobbers.
Jobber.
A jobber. Okay. So he would come out, and he's like got red trunks and red boots, and he's red wristbands, and he's got a receding hairline, and he's kind of in shape, but, you know, and like, in this corner, in the red trunks, James Cook, you know, and he's like, and his opponent is Ultimate Warrior, and he comes in and just destroys. Like, this guy never gets a hit in. Yeah. Ultimate Warrior just makes him his plaything.
That's just how Ultimate Warrior matches are.
It was just to show you how good the hero wrestler is, you know.
So much for the man who discovered Australia.
Looks like he'll be the first to discover the afterlife.
Why aren't we doing wrestling commentaries? We need to do this.
But that was the shit I grew up on Saturdays, you know, and Uncle Jeff would be sitting on the couch drinking coffee, and he'd be like, this motherfucker, I can't believe he... Why would he even step in the ring?
That is so Uncle Jeff, it hurts.
Why would he even try? Why? They must have paid him a bunch of money to get his ass kicked. This is back when the argument was still wrestling's fake.
Uh-huh.
You know, and...
Yeah, we were talking about it earlier, but I was such a nerd. I played WrestleMania 2000 on 64. I have a folder like 3 inches thick full of tournaments I would do. I would just let the game play itself.
Right, because it had
and
a
I'd
CPU.
Keep track of who won, how long the matches were, how they won.
How many attempted takedowns?
Yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah, you got into it pretty hardcore. And I did
24 tournaments.
I would pick on you a little bit, like when you first started. But then I would like get a soda and sit down next to him and start watching the match, you know. And I'm like, oh yeah, no, oh man, he almost had him.
So who's your grand champion? Don't say Triple H, please, for the love of God.
No, no.
Thank you.
He wasn't very good, actually, in tournaments.
Like I said, I don't know 2000 very well. I know No Mercy.
And I had to create a bunch of wrestlers, too.
Mm-hmm.
I think the last one was Goldberg.
Nice.
I had to create him because he wasn't on...
Right.
He wasn't even in WWF then.
Back when WCW versus NWO, when that was on 64.
Oh, yeah.
I always picked Dean Malenko, the Iceman. Always picked Dean Malenko. He was my go-to guy because he does the Texas Cloverleaf. That was his finishing submission move. And I love that. And I asked your dad to show it to me. You got to think about it. I'm just like, at the time, I couldn't have been 13 or 14. You know? I'm barely like 5'2".
You're five, like 5'2".
Yeah, I'm like 5'2", 5'3". You know, and Dennis is 6'4",
give or
six,
take.
6'4". You know, and he's like, oh, yeah, sure. You know, I'd love to show you. And he like puts me in the full, not even like training mode hold. He's like, let me show you the power of the Texas Cloverleaf.
Brother!
You know, you're about to get wrecked by the Rebel, the Art of the B, the E, and the L, the man, the myth, the legend, the Southern Machinery that never rusts, nor the viper, son by the grace of God, doing his whole spiel that he had.
And he had a spiel to do.
You know, and I'm like, okay, well, just go easy on me. He's like, there is no mercy. And he just put me, and as soon as he put, I mean, because the Texas Cloverleaf is basically an inverted leg lock, right? Or what's the other version of it?
Sharpshooter? Like a figure four, you mean?
Figure four, okay. But it's in reverse, as far as I remember.
It's like a weird hybrid of a figure four and a sharpshooter.
Right. So he puts me in
basically
this...
legs touch each other.
He puts me in this wrestling move and immediately puts all his weight on it. And I'm immediately going,
I remember he used to do that to me. And as soon as you said, there is no mercy, brother, it all came coming back. He did not give a shit.
Well, join us for our next week as we go through therapy hour.
But he did shit like, I mean, he used to pick me up and put me in the fucking torture rack.
Yes.
And that's where the debate about wrestling being fake could really be challenged. Because they're using these real wrestling moves, quote unquote, for a show.
Mm-hmm.
It's a man's soap opera is what it is.
Basically.
You know? And they've even talked about it because back then they called it, the new term for it was the Age of Attitude. You had Stone Cold Steve Austin and you had all these characters and everybody's super badass and super strong and everyone hates each other. And then you had, you had Degeneration X playing their pranks and just being cockbites and assholes. But because they were funny, you rooted for them because you were having a good time. And you go to school the next day, like Tuesday, because it was Monday Night Raw and... You know, and everyone's like, oh, did you see the match? You see Goldberg fucking spear him? Oh, it was amazing. Well, of course he was supposed to spear him. He sat there and took it. You know, it's staged, man. But the wrestling moves themselves are real. And they are dangerous and they are painful.
They are. Actual wrestling is bullshit. It hurts so much to get thrown on the ground. And from what I'm told, WWE mat is not much better.
Right. Who was your favorite wrestler, JD, like, of all time?
Oh, The Undertaker. Hands down.
Oh, high five, Undertaker, hands down. That is a man.
That was the gayest high five I've ever seen.
Well, he started it.
They're Wonder Twins powers, actually.
This. Oh, yes! Oh, a little to the left.
Now repeat. Oh, yeah. A few more times.
Yeah, no. Fucking. Actually, we had a conversation about that on the way to, like, St. Louis. We were just talking about how awesome The Undertaker is and how shitty it was that he lost to Brock Lesnar.
Yeah.
All right, so join us next time for our wrestling podcast.
Right, we just started a wrestling podcast.
What WWE should have done.
Well, you see him saying, so back in the day, I was into wrestling, and after about 2000, I just gave up. I just stopped caring.
Who's John Cena?
I've never seen him.
You actually got me for a sec.
Everyone talks about him, but he's always like, you can't see me, and I never see him. He's like invisible.
You actually got me for a sec. I'm like, you've seen... Oh, wait.
There's a meme with a kid, and he's like, here comes John Cena! And then he puts two recorders up to his nose. He's like, doo-doo-doo-doo! Just the shit people do. It's fucking hilarious.
So, Mark, are you entertained?
Mildly.
Who was your favorite wrestler? Did you even really care?
I watched it when I was younger. I watched it more late 80s, early 90s. I was always a fan of Sting. I liked WCW when I was a kid, and I was always a big Sting fan.
That's who I thought JD was going to say was Sting, because I know you were like Sting for a while. Like, you dressed like Sting.
What?
With the coat? The leather coat?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Okay, sorry. You were the Crow.
Yeah, there you go.
JD's like, I don't know what you're talking about. Oh, yeah, that. I remember everything now.
Didn't I see, like, on Facebook somewhere that you actually won a, or got put into a gaming magazine dressed as the Crow?
No, I wrote a letter into Game Players Magazine way back in, like, 1998 or something like that. I wrote a letter asking the editors about if there are any video games out there that have nudity in them, because I was a big horn dog.
As you do.
And they printed it, and they responded saying, well, there's some like PC games out there, but nothing as far as like Nintendo or Sega or anything like that. And a few months later, somebody wrote a letter responding to my letter saying, that guy's a pervert, blah, 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 whatever. And the editor, he was like, he says something to her. I mean, he's straight. He's professional about it. But at the very last sentence he wrote was like, now shut up and go make me a sandwich.
Oh, no. Oh,
yes.
Man. That wouldn't fly today.
Very nice.
Oh, wow. Because he's probably like, I want nudity in video games, too.
I mean, yeah, because she was like, you know, that's so sexist and everything. And like, which it was, I guess. But, you know.
I mean, back in the day, who cares?
So what do I know?
All you can think about is, like, getting some.
Fucking Beavis and Butthead.
Yeah.
Shut up, Beavis.
Oh, when the Beavis and Butthead movie, and he catches him, and he's like, I want a cavity searcher. I'm talking Roto-Rooter. Don't stop till they reach the back of his teeth. And then laid him out of the van, and he's like, huh, did I just score?
Who was your favorite wrestler?
Oh, man. Therefore, I mean, it was definitely Stone Cold there near the end.
Really?
But then I started liking Goldberg, because he would headbutt.
He was Stone Cold, but bigger.
But he would headbutt lockers until his face bled, and then go out and wrestle, and I'm like, that's my kind of guy. I headbutt lockers, too, but not to show off, because I'm an idiot. But
very nice.
I liked all the drama. I don't know.
I didn't really care for, like, the macho, like, I didn't care for the macho attitude with it. Like, Hulk Hogan didn't come out and just be like, rawr! Hulk Hogan come out and like, I'm everybody's friend. I'll wrestle you. Like, he,
right.
You know, I mean,
I'm a real American.
Well, for the rest. Because I used to love Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
Yeah.
And the Junkyard Dog. Those are the guys I grew up with.
When wrestling was fun. Right. It was just silly fun.
Exactly. You know, and then you had the wrestling cartoon with all the WWF stars.
Right.
Telling
was
you
a cartoon?
Yeah, there was
a that was on NBC. Yeah.
Yeah, and they would go through little adventures and at the end tell you don't do drugs and don't drink.
Wow.
And, oh yeah.
How
yeah.
have I never heard of this?
Yeah, it was pretty in it.
I don't think any of them did the voices though. It was all right, voice actors.
I was going to say my dad's like the godfather of wrestling and I didn't know this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, okay,
I'm going to take a step back cuz you remember with our PE coach, I would walk in and I would do Ric Flair's woo.
Woo!
Flair! Because Flair was retired, I guess, and then he came back to WCW, I think. And yeah. I remember coming in that following Tuesday, and Coach Hatfield was like, what's up, Lewis? And I'm like, woo! Flair's back! And he's like, oh, God, one of them.
I embarrassed Josh. We had a party at the house, and if you remember, Flair's theme music, his intro music is...
Uh-huh.
The theme from 2001, and I tried to get him to do it, and I embarrassed him, and he's like, nope, I'm not doing it.
I don't know why.
I've got it on vinyl. I found it at a flea market on vinyl, and I waited for him to show up, and I started playing it, and he was like, nope, I'm not doing it.
I don't remember that, but I'm sure it happened.
I was up in uptown, well, where I live at now, we were there, and you wouldn't do it.
Oh, man. That sucks. Now I wish I could go back in time machine and do it, because I did that everywhere. Woo! Flair's back.
There were people you didn't know there. You were probably afraid of embarrassing yourself a little bit.
Which is ridiculous, because I embarrass myself a lot.
Beat me to it.
So, I liked them all.
I was shocked you didn't say Flair, to be honest. That's who I expected you to say. The heel of all heels.
Yeah, I've always loved The Undertaker, particularly when Undertaker and Stone Cold Steve Austin teamed up for like two matches in 98. I don't know. You probably know better than I do, JD.
He's like, you're damn right, I do.
Yeah, they had a I think they won a tag team championship, if I'm not mistaken.
Hmm.
But it was in the run up to the SummerSlam match, the Highway to Hell, they called it.
Yeah.
Which,
I remember
that. Which was awesome because they had like a.
Actually, yeah, that's the match I'm thinking of. They weren't, I thought they were together. No, they fought each other. And at the very end, fucking Undertaker brings Stone Cold a beer and he's like, good match. And they share a beer. And that's the only time the Undertaker was ever friendly.
Is this riding a motorcycle Undertaker?
Or no, this is before that.
Oh, okay.
This is when he had a Paul Bearer with him.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
As his manager.
That's when I think he's in the Ministry of Darkness.
Yeah. They went with the okay. Grill.
The poster for that was fucking awesome. It was like a broken Las Vegas with Undertaker and Stone Cold like grappling over it.
Remember when Undertaker had to face the fake Undertaker?
Yep.
Underfaker.
The Underfaker tombstoned him like 6 times, and he kept getting up. But then when the Undertaker done the real tombstone, it was over. It was like, oh my God, the real one's been done. There's no underestimating the power of the tombstone when it's done by the real. I mean, just.
What I love is I asked my dad to explain that match to me once, and he's like, well, you see, it was the spirit of the Undertaker as given to him by the grace of God.
Holy shit.
Dude, you had no idea.
Yeah.
Like, we tell you stories, but.
Living with that.
Oh, it's crazy.
Man, I only.
This was in 2009. He was still this way.
It's kind of like getting 1/100th of warmth from the sun. It's kind of like, it's okay here. Like, I can laugh and have a good time in this, but you guys are like, no, it's burning my flesh. it's searing every moment.
Fire, flames on my face.
Yeah.
What was that from?
Clue.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Jager Hoover is on the phone. Why is he on your phone? He's on everyone else's.
Why should it be on mine?
God damn, I love Clue. I love Tim Curry.
Why wasn't he a wrestler? Speaking of, we just did a cast on RoboCop. Do you remember when Sting had to rescue RoboCop from a cage? Or RoboCop rescued Sting.
Yeah, RoboCop came in to save me. Yes. Holy fuck, we didn't even talk about that.
No.
And if I'm not mistaken, that was actually Peter Weller who did that.
Yes,
that would be fucking sweet.
He must have got a lot of money for that. Cause he.
I hope he did, because I understand he didn't want to do it at all, but he was like contractually obligated to or something.
They had him by the short hairs.
Yeah.
Probably
he didn't have to climb
something.
Into a ring, did he?
No.
Oh, shit. No. Like, well, we built this 60-foot ramp that you have to walk up.
This turned into a wrestling podcast real fucking quick. We didn't mean for it to.
That's all right. It had to happen eventually.
Just so many good times.
Like the time Kane fought fake Kane.
I had to stop watching that. So you mean Kane Hodder?
Dude, I would fucking watch that.
Kane Hodder was the guy that played Jason Voorhees, correct?
Yeah, and
one of them.
And 4 out of like a million movies. 4 out of 12, matter of fact.
Supposedly he's the one that everyone quotes as being the definitive Jason Wong.
I think so.
I'm down. Why didn't he wrestle?
I think he also holds the Guinness World Record on longest sustained burn.
Really?
Oh, yeah, in part 7, mm-hmm. when he's down in the basement fighting that psychic chick.
Yeah.
She sets him on fire, and that was the long... I forget how long it was, but it was on record.
It's pretty bad, because it scarred his neck permanently. You see him now, he's got a really big, thick neck, but half of it is, like, melted.
I burn my finger at work sometimes. I'm like, I mean, seriously, like touching exhaust or something.
He's
like,
walking around for 3 days going, have you seen my finger?
It's slightly discolored. I'm like, oh, but it hurts so bad. It's not even blistered. So I couldn't even imagine getting your skin.
And keep in mind, that's all latex that was on him, and it was melting.
So you have to light a match, put it out, and like Keenan Ivory Wayans.
I don't remember that.
I'm going to get you, sucker.
I'm going to get... Oh, no, that was because he had a splinter. He was quarterizing his splinter.
Yeah,
wound.
Okay.
Oh, man.
Oh, I love I'm going to get you, sucker. It took me a minute. I was like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, me and Josh actually sat and watched that movie all the way through a few months ago.
Yeah, it wasn't too long ago because it was on... It was on Vudu, free to watch. You just have to watch the commercials, I guess.
I only remember 2 scenes from that movie, and the first one
is... Kung Fu Joe.
Kung Fu Joe.
I didn't remember that. I remember fucking Chris Rock goes into... Isaac Hayes' butcher shop.
Barbecue the rib?
Shop. Barbecue yeah, shop. The rib. How yeah. much for one rib?
I just want one rib.
And then I remember when Isaac Hayes, they're getting ready for the big final battle. They're going to storm the bad guy. He's got his trench coat on. He puts like 400 guns in his trench coat. One of them goes off. They all go off. Just one after another. It's 5 minutes of guns in his coat going off.
I forgot all about that.
That is my favorite scene of the movie.
Yeah, me and JD watched that a while back when you were down visiting last time. Oh, that's such a funny movie.
Mm-hmm.
And the Wayans brothers, they're just funny guys in general. Scary Movie Part 1, and they did Part 2 also, correct?
I think
Part 1 and Part 2.
Yeah.
3, they sold it off for 3, I think. And that's when it started getting more ridiculous than it already was.
Just a bit too ridiculous.
I still enjoy 3 quite a bit, but yeah, and after that, they're unwatchable to me.
So yeah, me and JD sat around, drank a couple beers, watched it back then. I completely forgot. It's one of the things where I watch the movie and then I brain dump all of it. I do it on purpose. That way, next time I watch it, I'm like, oh, that's amazing. Oh, my God, that's so funny. Would you like some bean soda?
Sometimes you would have to wish to do that. Because there's some movies that, you know, you lose that charm and that magic. You know, we've talked about that before. Like with scary movies and stuff like that, you don't get that magic back because you know he's coming through the wall or he's going to do that same jump scare. I mean, you don't have that again the second or third time you watch that movie because it's already there. So you almost wish for something like that. I think that's kind of why they make a million sequels to those, because
they just try to recapture that.
Right.
Fire in a bottle, I guess, or whatever.
Right.
That's why I like movies with small details, because I think it's in Friday the 13th, Part 7. You know Jason's going to kill the guy. That's no big surprise. But he walks into this room that's like pitch black and lightning strikes. And you're just like, okay. But it's like at this weird angle where it's coming from the top corner of the room, and you're like, okay. If you look closely, Jason is in the fucking corner breathing heavily.
Okay.
So you don't notice it unless you're looking for it.
You have to really be paying attention.
And when I saw that, I'm like, oh, shit, Jason's
well, in the room. I agree with you 100%. I love it when they add small details, especially when a movie or a video game in the story.
This is a video game cast.
It is a video game podcast. We got off track a bit. But where they take tidbits, or they hide stuff, or they take it on a deeper level, and you have to deconstruct it. And that can make or break a movie or a game, where, I mean, especially like Mass Effect 3, the ending is just, it pissed a lot of people off.
Who's your favorite Mass Effect character, JD?
I never even played that.
He's like, that guy in the box cover, I guess.
Garrus. I would have liked to have seen them embellish, because after this, when you meet Garrus in the second one, or no, Garrus is a sniper in the first one, isn't he?
Yeah,
kind of.
But he's not like a vigilante archangel dude.
Right. But Garrus was always kind of a pretty strong backbone character for the trilogy.
His whole race, the Turians, their whole race, their whole culture is built on a military industrial complex.
Right, but you can also make him, if you get to know him more, he is more human. There is more humanity to him than their normal, what do you call it, stereotype. I mean, Garrus does have depth to him. He's not just a military generic character.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite companion on the Citadel.
Yeah.
I see your point, though. He's not just like some kind of dumb warrior, and that's all he can think about.
Right.
Hey, Garrus, what do you want to do? I want to fight enemies.
No, that's the Krogans.
Right. Well, yeah. Even then, they discuss about the Krogans talk to you.
That's why
about,
I like Rex.
Yeah.
No more genophage.
Yeah. So.
So, JD, who's your favorite Contra color?
Blue.
We talked about it. What are their names? Hold on. Quiz time.
Oh, in the original, they were Mad Dog and Scorpion. But they.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah. I didn't even know that.
Yeah, Mad Dog and Scorpion. There were different characters in later games, but I couldn't tell you who they were.
Oh, okay.
Their names are Lance and Bill in later games.
Lance and Bill.
You got me there.
Wow. Lance and Bill. I wish I'd have known Mad Dog and Scorpion. That's way fucking cooler than Lance and Bill.
We have to defeat the alien influence. Who do we send in? Mad Dog and Scorpion.
That's badass.
Yeah, do you remember the box art for the original Contra? It's fucking Arnold Schwarzenegger and Sylvester Stallone.
Okay.
As it should be.
Yeah.
because they got into a little bit of water over it, because they were like, you guys realize you're using somebody else's likeness, right? Like,
no, this is Dolph Lundgren. It's not Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Right.
It's Dolph, and it's Tony Danza. Yeah.
TV celebrities, Tony Danza.
Just so close. So close.
See, we're not plagiarizing anything.
Stealing likenesses, you
we're
guys.
We're not using anybody's likeness without permission or paying for a license.
Yeah, I remember 20 years ago coming to this house watching Josh play Turok on 64. Every time we'd have plans like, hey man, you want to go out to eat, get some pizza or some Chinese or whatever? And he's like, yeah, I'll shut this off in a few minutes and we'll go out. And
30 minutes you know, later?
No, I'm like 6 hours later.
Yeah. No, it's like Monday goes by and like Thursday it's like, Josh, you said, you know, a few minutes ago, 3 days ago, I'm fucking starving now.
I am real bad about that. I cannot argue. I still do that.
And fast forward
day.
20 years later, Josh is sitting there playing Elite Dangerous. Like, hey, Josh, want to
yeah,
go out?
No
yeah, I'll
shit.
Shut this off in a few minutes. And like, wow, deja vu.
JD's like, never mind. Just stay here. What do you want? I'll bring it back to you. I'll even feed you if you need me to.
The next time you come down next year, he's going to be doing the same damn thing. You're going to be like, so, you know, get that bite to eat.
I've not even booted that up in like 7 months.
He keeps saying that, but yet here it is, another person that brings up the Elite Dangerous scandal.
I'm telling you, I've not been playing that game.
Okay.
Are you finally sick of grinding?
He's cut it cold turkey. He finally quit it, huh?
All games are grinding nowadays, they feel like. They're all a grind. I mean,
and that's why JD and I stick with our retro fucking consoles.
But, alright, because you just finally beat Breath of the Wild, correct?
Yeah.
Did it not feel like a grind to you?
There are parts of it that do. Like when you go mining for gems or whatever, going into mountains and busting up the rocks and shit like that. Yeah, when you want to go buy some, you gotta grind.
You
to
gotta
do that.
Grind for it. Okay.
I'm not all that innocent, I guess, because I've been playing the shit out of Minecraft as well as Mortal Kombat.
You know, the mining simulator.
No, that's Sinistar. And if you do...
I live.
And if you do play on survival, the whole game is grinding. If you want something, you have to grind for it.
Right, no, it is a grinding game. That is a gameplay design aspect that exists in nearly all games today. It's all a grind.
But Minecraft makes it fun. Does Elite Dangerous make grinding fun?
Kinda. Sometimes.
He's in a spaceship.
I get to go pew pew, take that. I get to harass people that have like 1,000 hours in the game and can just wreck my shit without a challenge.
Come on, we can do that in Star Trek Online.
Yeah, not really.
No Man's Sky.
Yeah.
No Man's Sky is fun.
I have fun when I play it with you, if we're playing online and we're working on something together, but I refuse to play it by myself because it's a fucking grind game.
Yeah.
It's all a grind.
It's kind of like Elite Dangerous. Oh, never mind.
It's kind of
like
I told you that's a grindy game.
It's
kind of
like Elite Dangerous.
It's
kind of
like that
I mean,
game we shall not mention.
From now on,
it's like Elite Dangerous. I mean, Anthem. I mean,
I don't
Destiny 2. I mean,
hey, wait, did you notice erectile dysfunction in Elite Dangerous?
I was gonna say that. I was gonna say we can't call it ED because that sounds like something else that we wouldn't want to talk about.
I thought you were gonna say that you have.
That's why I play the game, because I'm like, well,
if I've got ED, I might as well have ED.
I might as well play ED. At least here I feel fulfilled, like I've accomplished something. Yay, I worked really hard and I got a new spaceship color.
I can play with
Hooray!
My ED now.
Hold on, guys. I'm going to fondle my Elite. I'll be back in a little bit.
Your genital warts won't go away unless you start using topical cream every
topical
day.
Topical cream every day.
But
are we done talking about
video games?
My issue.
The podcast. Yeah. I think we're done talking about that.
Great.
So, does anybody have any video game to talk about on our video game podcast? Or have we...
Space Invaders 64.
JD. I was going to bring that up. Go. We need to know everything about it.
You mean Asteroid 64?
No, that one sucked.
I like that one. Fuck you.
Fuck you. Space Invaders 64. Do it.
I remember playing that.
Oh my god, you had
what?
It.
You still have it.
Yeah, you used to bring it down and be like, oh dude, I got this at like a yard sale for like $2.
Space Invaders?
Space Invaders on Nintendo 64.
Yeah, no, okay, you're a little tank. and you shoot at these weird...
There's aliens coming down and you have to...
I guarantee if I... Here, I'll show you a screenshot from it.
Futurama. Wait, as I hold... Wait, as I fire through my own shield. He's a madman.
You should have been aiming for where I was going to be instead of where I was.
Yeah, I liked Asteroid 64. That was awesome.
It wasn't bad. I was just giving you hell.
You ever play, it's a classic, or I don't want to say classic, but it's an older one, Moonlander? Was that it?
Lunar Lander.
That was the one.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I remember that game now. Okay.
Oh, now that he's seen the video.
Yeah,
of it.
Yeah. That was pretty good, too.
Dude, when I think of Space Invader 64, I only think of you.
Exactly. It's synonymous. That I just...
And here I am like, what are you talking about?
Star Fox, what's that?
That's the way things go. With okay,
this looks
man.
Like a Sega CD game.
It was fun as hell.
I'm not kidding you. I've seen Sega CD games that have the same graphics.
We got JD drunk one time, me and Jeffrey. And I like how we said we got you drunk, but you were just drinking and we happened to be there.
Like you had some part in it.
But we talked you into playing Space Invader 64, and you beat it drunk before our eyes. We didn't know there was a final boss until you happened.
Oh, and that was a freaky final boss, too.
He's an asshole. I hate that fucker. It's like a big King Kong silhouette that throws shit at you.
Yeah.
He throws buildings at you in Tokyo, I think.
Yeah, he does.
That sounds like Bowser and Yoshi's Island. He throws giant eggs at you.
But better.
Damn, I'm going to look up Space Invaders on eBay now.
He's like, oh, gotta get it.
Man. Oh, did you get rid of it?
I think I just lost it.
Oh, that sucks.
I moved like 4 times in the last 10 years, so.
That's true.
So, we've covered the Nintendo 64.
We've covered wrestling.
And wrestling.
Well, the wrestling games we played were on the 64, so we're technically still on the 64.
Very true.
Okay.
They went for Super NES.
Tell the story about Contra Part 2. JD came down for a visit.
You already got started. Why even fuck with you tell it?
I'll tell it. It's fine. So,
anyway, JD comes down.
I hate you. I hate you. This was back when the Wii store was about to shut down. Mm-hmm. And I had a few extra credits on there, and I wanted to spend them before they were gone. So I was like, well, whatever, I'll get Contra 2, Part 2. So I'm kind of playing, I'm sucking at it, I've never played it before. And JD kind of just knocks on the door casually. Oh, hey, what's up? You know, we're sitting down, and he's like, oh, Contra 2, cool, you know? Blah, blah, blah. I was like, I can't. You know about this game? Yeah, I played it. I beat it a couple times, I can play it. So I give him the controller, it's on the Wii controller.
Mm-hmm.
The rectangle, whatever. And he's playing it, and he dies once or twice. He's like, okay, I think I've got it figured out. So he starts a new game, and then he goes through the boss, and I'm like, hey, I'm going to live right down the street from Casey's convenience store. So I'm like, hey, I'm going to go get drinks and stuff. You guys want something? And everybody gives me, you know, I want this drink, and I want a bag of chips, mm-hmm. whatever. I go down, and I come back, and JD's like, got the game damn near beat. I'm like, well, I'll never be playing this. Played it so much, the muscle memory. And
we also downloaded Zelda 2 Adventure of Link so that JD could play it. And that game is ridiculously hard. Actually, you have a really badass clock. Do you still have that?
I do.
It is a clock of the final boss fight of Zelda 2, Link fighting Dark Link.
No, not that. I don't have that clock anymore.
Aw, damn, that one was cool.
I made a clock.
Really?
Okay.
I have a Zelda 2... cartridge, the gold one.
Ooh.
I have it on the right side of the clock, and on the left side of the clock, I spray painted gold Triforce.
Okay.
Sweet.
Triangles.
Very cool.
Plus, I have a bunch, like, 5 or 6, like, hat pins, like Zelda hat pins. Like, one's like a little Triforce, and one's the Hylian Shield.
Okay.
And, like, a couple of them are just, like, little small replicas of the cartridges.
Right. Oh, that's even cooler.
Yeah. I'm so hard right now.
I'm so aroused.
I was going to take a picture of it to show you guys before I came here, but I forgot.
Way to go.
That's fine. You post on Facebook all the time. Just put it on there. We'll see it. All
right.
And then I'll share it to the
Snozzberries.
They taste like Snozzberries.
You were drifted there for a second, yeah, so I didn't know you were.
I was scratching my head, and I was like, I'm going to go to bed.
And there was another time here in the kitchen. I was playing Mario 2.
Oh, my God. Please tell the story.
Please. Oh, yes.
Please tell it.
I think you had, it was a that 3-in-1 cartridge or whatever.
It was a Super Mario All-Stars for the Super Nintendo. Yeah.
Love All-Stars.
I was playing Mario 2. I could never beat that game. But I finally beat it. It got to the end. I finally beat it. And there's a cutscene where Mario kind of wakes up. Oh, it was all just a dream. And I think they heard me screaming from the living room. Like, it was just a dream?
God damn it.
Motherfucker.
This is bullshit.
Oh, that's fucking amazing. Yeah, I remember that night. Because that was at the time where we had, if you look in that other room, that desk that's in, or not the desk, that table that's in there used to be in here.
Yeah.
For extra storage. And up on there is where we had another TV and the Super Nintendo and next to the washer, I think. So, JD, we'd be in the living room watching TV or whatever, and JD came for a weekend or whatever, and he just took over the Super, which is fine because most of the time I was hogging the living room when Jade, just like he said, you know, it's like, I'll turn this off in a minute.
Yeah.
You know, and I just keep playing. So that's why I try to do my best now to not play games when JD comes over because.
Oh, I'm glad you only do that when JD comes over.
Whatever. Whatever.
Actually, that setup you described is exactly how I remember playing Link's Awakening for the first time because we had. I guess you had the Game Boy adapter for the Super Nintendo.
Yes.
The Super Game Boy. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's how I remember first playing it. I was like, because I have a very distinct memory of seeing Link and Chain Chomps on the same screen and being very confused about that.
Well, I mean,
is that all you're confused about?
That was Nintendo's way of saving money on assets. Yeah. That was Nintendo's way of saving money on assets back then, was just use.
Yeah, but Kirby's in it.
Well, I mean, there wasn't a whole lot of, like, Game Boy games, there wasn't a whole lot of money that they were going to spend on those, because at the time, if you remember correctly, the Game Boy was doing okay, but it was still kind of a, you know, this is a new approach or a new leap forward for us. So, I mean, they spent money on those games. It's not like they didn't, but, you know, any chance that they could cut the corner a little bit and try to get something out, they did.
That's why Metroid 2 only has like five bosses in it,
right.
But they're repeated 40 times.
Right.
So. Okay. So they didn't have to program completely new bosses. And I gotcha.
I remember when Double Dragon 3 came out for the NES. I loved that game at first. doesn't hold up to the other two for looking back now, but
that Double Dragon has always been one of those series. I never bought them. It was always one of those deals where they always kind of looked the same. So I never touched them just because I thought, well, it's just the same game. But you put fucking Ninja Turtles in that same chemistry and I'm like, oh, I got to have it. It's like, what the hell?
Right. It's just a side-scrolling beat 'em up.
Right.
Well, it was the same thing with Alien versus Predator and then Batman Returns. They were both identical, I mean, in gameplay. The side-scroll and beat 'em up. Okay, I'm going to take a step back, and I'm going to tell one half of my story, like a backstory, and I'm going to have JD, if he wants, to fill in the other half.
If he can remember it.
Right.
Okay, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, God.
So, down in Florida, we used to go to this bowling alley, and I hated bowling. Now I like it, but there was an arcade in their little arcade area, and it was Final Fight. And you could be Mike Hagar. Now, I didn't know this until JD told me yesterday, but Mike Hagar was from a wrestling video game before Final Fight.
Really?
What was the name of that game?
I couldn't tell you now. I don't remember.
We didn't write it down. So anyway, apparently he runs for mayor of this crime-ridden city.
Yep.
So he gets elected mayor. So he's going through the streets as mayor fighting these criminal elements. And he's a wrestler by background. Think Zangief, but with less hair and scars.
I think I have a better example, actually, for a real-life wrestler who ran for mayor and won. Jesse Ventura. Fucking Ventura.
Okay.
Right.
He looked a lot like Jesse Ventura.
Okay, we'll roll it. But anyway.
Kane did, too. Kane's a mayor now.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, go ahead, Josh.
No, that's okay. So, you could be three characters. You could be Mike Hagar. A dude that reminded me of Ryu, and his name was Guy.
Yep.
And who was the third character?
Cody.
Cody. I got a question.
That choice is obvious.
I got a question about Cody. Does he remind you of Terry from King of the Fighters?
Oh yeah,
Terry Bogard.
Mm-hmm. Terry Bogard. Okay.
I think that's also an SNK game, though. I think they're
right
made by the same company.
Because right, Cody universe type stuff.
Because Cody and Guy.
No, Final Fight's Capcom.
Yeah, that is Capcom.
Final Fight's Capcom.
Okay.
Ignore everything I just said.
So anyway, I would play that, and I'd always play Guy, and I would just dump quarters into it, and never could beat the first level. But then we came up here for summer vacation one year, and JD was up in Macon, and they were having a town fair at that time, and on a trailer, they had some arcade games, and one of them was Final Fight. Do you want to continue that? Or I mean, it's not an amazing story, but...
It was like on the back of a flatbed semi-trailer with no guardrails or nothing, you know, so safety first.
Right. Amen. The 80s were different time.
Yeah. And we started playing Final Fight, and I thought it was the most amazing thing ever. It didn't even have blood in it, which kind of surprised me.
Right.
Not like Mortal Kombat blood, but...
I gotcha.
Pixelated blood.
Yeah, we just played that for... I don't even remember how long.
I think
but,
we ran out of money.
Yeah.
What happened.
We were like walking away from it, like, man, did you see me dropkick that guy? Yeah, that was awesome. You see a pile driver? That was fucking amazing.
Mike Hagar pile drive anything.
Then, yeah, you can. Well, the bull sharks.
Bull sharks, yeah. Yeah.
And when that game came out for the Super Nintendo, I was like, all right, this will be awesome. They took out my favorite character, which was Guy. He wasn't in it.
Nice. Yep.
Hagar was still awesome, and there was no blood, and it was like a condensed version of the arcade game. It didn't have everything the arcade had.
Was it the same thing, huh?
It's just like Mortal Kombat 1.
So, it says Hagar was a former professional wrestler turned mayor of Metro City.
It's Metrocity.
Yeah, I forgot. But that was the first game he was in. But later on, Hagar would appear as a playable character in Saturday Night Slam Master.
Yes, one.
Okay.
And its two sequels, Muscle Bomber Duo and Ring of Destruction Slam Masters 2. Muscle Bomber Duo. So, yeah, he was in that. He also was in Marvel vs. Capcom 3.
I knew he was in that.
Yep.
And,
He was great in Infinite for, 12 minutes I played of it.
Yeah, that's what he did. So he was also in background. He was also a background, and Zangief wearing his clothes as an alternative outfit for Street Fighter 4.
That's cool.
So Zangief got his outfit for.
We watched a death battle on YouTube yesterday, and it was Hagar versus Zangief, and Zangief won.
I don't entirely agree with the outcome, but it was a fucking awesome.
It's
fight.
Pretty amazing. They were just like double lariating each other all day. Yeah, it was a pretty good fight. For what it is, for what the show is. I love Death Battle.
I do too.
I love watching it.
You seen the new one coming out?
Yeah, but I forgot who it was.
I'm going to date this episode. Deadpool versus The Mask.
Yes, okay.
I'm kind of hyped to see that.
Well, they've already had Deadpool versus... Shit. She's a My Little Pony.
You were going to say raspberry something?
I was going to say Raspberry Pi.
Rainbow Pi or Rainbow Bright? Rainbow...
No.
It's Rainbow Dash.
No, it's not Rainbow Dash.
Are you sure?
PewDiePie or Cutie Pie or...
It might be Cutie Pie.
Hell, I don't know. My daughter used to watch it, and I haven't seen it since she got out of it.
I just know they had Starscream fight Rainbow Dash at one point.
And Rainbow Dash won.
Rainbow Dash fucking won.
Yeah, she's a badass. Uh-oh, we're getting into brony territory here.
Let's do it. Let's lariat into it.
But, yeah, and Starscream, just ridiculous character.
I hate Starscream. Soundwave was my boy.
Yeah, Soundwave.
Autobot Superior. That's not how this goes. I'm going to shut my fucking mouth.
I've botched it completely.
Boba Fett's my favorite character. Han Solo's my best friend.
Go ahead.
It's crazy. 1989 is when Final Fight came out in arcade. 1989, we were still rocking an NES, and I guess the Genesis had just came out by then.
Okay.
We wouldn't see a Super Nintendo for another year or two.
Two years.
1991, yeah.
That was around the time that Mario 3 came out.
Yeah.
So, damn.
Yeah. Capcom was kind of ahead of the curve. I have been listening to them talk about repairing old arcade games. And one of the ones that they're repairing is an actual, it's called the CPS2 boards. It's the old Capcom Series 2 boards. And like a lot of your Street Fighter and stuff like that are on those boards. And I was really shocked to hear that they are using old Sega Saturns to repair those. They're taking apart Sega Saturn hardware to repair some of those old boards. I was kind of shocked by that. Especially since Saturn's kind of a hard commodity to find right now too. But that's what they're repairing those old pieces of hardware with.
Huh.
So, and it was, right now there's a lot of big movements going on in the modding scene, and even like basically gaming as a historical standpoint. Like being able to preserve gaming is going to be tougher going forward. But with FPGAs and stuff like that, where they can actually emulate one-to-one hardware, it may make all this come possible. And I didn't know it, but I was listening to a Retronauts podcast this week, and they were talking about FPGAs and what they call the MIST-ER project. That's capital MIST with a lowercase ER. And it's all FPGA based. Like they've got it to where you can buy the cores and, you know, make a one-to-one Super Nintendo emulation machine, Genesis. And he said eventually, if they had enough people, they could get up to the point where they could emulate PlayStation 4 with these.
Oh, whoa.
Wow.
But they would have to have the full schematics, and they would also need basically the team, whoever developed, you know, the hardware for that around to help them build that. So, you know, a PlayStation 4 would be almost unrealistic right now.
Mm-hmm.
In another 10 years, who knows?
Right. Maybe they could do it with the PS3. That way I can actually play PS3 fucking games.
But
I'm sensing some hostility.
What hostility? I'm a hostile.
But with video game preservation and stuff like that coming in right now, a lot of people emulate, and a lot of people are just fine doing that. But there's also a big, big, strong community that don't just want just emulation. Because there is some latency, there's some lag and stuff like that. Emulation is not perfect. And you do have people that want a one-to-one true representation of that. And
get it.
And with the MIST-ER, you can. Like, you can do it. It's like $170 or $180 just to get wrapped up into doing the MIST-ER. Which sounds kind of dirty, but...
Or like a dance.
Right.
I think it's hot.
But I see that also going forward. You know, game preservation right now is kind of like the Wild West. There's so much shit flying around right now that... And there's no way of, you know, saving some of the old boards and the old logics and stuff like that. I mean, capacitors are failing left and right from old equipment and stuff like that. But which is funny, too, because also in that same podcast, they listed that they're finding still NES cartridges, like original gold NES cartridges from like the Adventures of Link and stuff like that, that still work today. The batteries have not depleted.
That's pretty amazing.
All these years later, yeah. Some of them still.
There's over in Evansville that does resale stuff, and they have a sign up there that says, "We'll replace your batteries in your old NES cartridges."
Right.
Nice. Dustin, the guy who I bought like 200 games off of, he has a gold original Legend of Zelda. And I thought about buying it from him, but he said he wanted to keep it and collect it. I guess it still works just fine.
Well, that's fine. I mean, since it's used condition, it'll never really fetch any real money. Mm-hmm. But to be able to say like you have it, like JD has on his closet.
Are those like more rare than the Zelda 2 gold cartridges?
That
or do we know?
Answer.
I don't know. Jeffrey swears up and down he saw an original one of those, and I think he said you had it.
Original what?
Zelda
2. Gold, yeah. Zelda cartridge.
I have one. Two. I have two.
Well, give me one.
No.
Give it.
One is from my childhood, and the other one is from I got off of Quentin when he sold his stuff to me.
Okay. Well, then the choice of which one to give me is obvious.
Well, no.
From your childhood, of course.
Now, I did see on eBay a few years ago they had a brand new, still in the box, still in the plastic, Zelda 2 gold cartridge game.
$900.
500. It was for
500. Damn!
Okay.
I have never seen a gray cartridge original Zelda. Every original Zelda, like you're talking about The Legend of Zelda,
mm-hmm.
they made a gray cartridge of that.
Most all of them were gray cartridges.
I did not know that because I've only seen the golden ones.
Right. I didn't know the gold ones existed. I knew they existed for part two, but not for part one.
Yeah, because I've got...
Maybe they were all gold for the original. I know they had gray ones for Zelda 2.
Because I've got both of those in gold. In fact, my dad's getting ready to give... Because he's getting ready to clear out his place and give me all that stuff. And those are gold cartridges. Plus the ones I got acquired off of Quentin are gold cartridges. And I know Steve's got them. I'm fairly certain his are gold. I don't remember ever seeing a gray cartridge of either of those.
Back when those games were so popular, I gave two shits about Zelda back then.
Right.
So I couldn't.
You monster.
Everyone had the Zelda cartridge. Everyone had a gold one.
And you didn't really get into it until like Link to the Past anyway, right?
No, it was Ocarina of Time that got me into Zelda.
You boomer.
Until the... Oh, we're going to bring that up. All right. Okay, boomer. So I really can't help you answer that question.
I knew that the Super Nintendo did not have a gold cartridge. And then they brought back the tradition whenever they put it on 64. In fact, the only way you could get the gold cartridge was by pre-ordering it.
Right.
And it came with a gold controller too, didn't it?
It did not come with a gold controller. That was Majora's Mask.
Ah. Yes.
You could get the Majora's Mask gold controller.
Majora.
I never bought one.
Say it with me. Majora.
I didn't buy that game. I didn't. When it came out, it was supposed to be an expansion.
Mm-hmm.
And it was not an expansion for me. I wasn't going to spend $60 for another cartridge when I did not feel it was a full game. So
I don't blame you. I hated it. Hated it up until about 2012, and I actually played it again. That game, if you can get into it, is well worth your time. If not, look for an easier game. That game is not easy by any standard.
Well, I don't like racing against a clock a lot of times. Right. If I want to play a game, I want to go in for the narrative and the story.
Like,
and
be leisure about it.
Yeah, and... Well, even Final Fantasy VII, there was still a sense of urgency to playing the game, mm-hmm. but in all reality, there was none. I mean, you were trying to beat the moon before it crashed into the earth.
Well, yeah, but you had two discs to go. Mm-hmm. Clearly, it wasn't over.
Right. But it didn't, you know, it wasn't like, oh, if you didn't defeat it or beat it by hour 60, the game ended or anything like that. So I hope not, because I made it 82 hours in that game. So,
of the two, which was your favorite?
Ocarina. I mean, I love Majora's Mask. I mean, it's a great game, but Ocarina takes the cake.
Gotcha. I was just curious.
You never got to play Twilight Princess, did you?
No.
It's like Ocarina on steroids. It is definitely worth playing. It's my favorite Zelda by far.
Yeah. I would say that, especially because it's not too convoluted with side quests.
There's, like, almost nothing for side quests in Ocarina.
It's pretty much main quest, and you go through and do your dungeons and get your items so you can beat the next one and go through. But there's not a lot of running around. Remember, like, Ocarina, you had to get the big Goron sword,
mm-hmm.
and you had to do the 9 steps or 7 steps.
And you get all the cuckoos in their pins.
Yeah. And you had to race against time twice,
yes.
once with the frog, once with the mushroom.
You had to do all that shit just to get a big giant-ass sword, which you technically can't finish the game with.
Yeah, exactly.
You have to use the Master Sword.
Playing Majora's Mask, though, I'm not a completionist by any means, but I was devoted to getting all 50 masks in that game.
Okay.
24.
And I... What?
24 masks.
24? Where did I get number 50 from?
Who knows? It doesn't matter.
Alzheimer's.
Happens to the best of us, I guess. Yeah.
Man, there's times I'll think back on shit like that and be like, man, there was... No, there's only this many in this game? Fuck, why did I think there was this many? I do it all the time,
yeah.
Man.
Oh, it was the Skatullas, maybe.
Skulltulas? Well, yeah.
There was
okay, that's probably where the number was coming from. But okay. I got all the masks, however many there were.
24.
And I had to...
He's already forgotten. JD, are you okay?
How many were there? I forget.
Smell burnt now. Toast.
Yeah, but you had to get all the masks to get the Fierce Deity's mask for the final fight at the end boss. You got the sword, man. You got the new outfit. It was badass.
Yeah, you play as a Kid Link the whole game, but once you get the Fierce Deities mask, you become 12 feet tall with a big Goron sword that's double helix.
Yep,
yeah, and it shoots laser sword. Beams. You are fucking awesome in that game. Majora hints, like, because he's the one who gives it to you. He even hints that you're probably worse than he is for having this.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
that's pretty kick-ass.
I love Fierce Deity.
My only disappointment was you could. That's the only time you could use that.
Yeah, only in boss fights.
Final fight.
Okay.
Those were the parts that being Kid Link in Ocarina of Time. I love Ocarina of Time. It is probably in my top three game list of all time. If I could streamline straight past that first part, just watch a small video clip and it says, Link got all three of these stones. Here we go. I would be way better off.
I'd be happy with just a skip cutscene button because it does not exist.
Right. Right. I used to, whenever I played Ocarina of Time, I always named my file Fuckers.
Yeah, I remember that. Curse you, fuckers.
Exactly, because Ganon curses you and he uses that. That was the only reason. That was the only reason I used that name. So you would be going through and they're like, hey, fuckers, help me catch these. You know, hey, fuckers, can you get that for me? But it was only... So I literally played through the fucking game 7 times just so I could hear Ganon or see Ganon call me fuckers. I'll get you... ... Fuckers. That was the only reason.
Hey, fuckers, race me and I'll give you this horse.
Lon Ranch.
Lon Ranch. Get some Lon milk.
Though I sure did.
Oh, speaking that's of not that, a horse. Remember, what's her name at Lon Ranch?
Malin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That little pendant she wears is actually face of Bowser.
I never noticed that.
Yeah, she and her dad have her dad has an Indian tie that's Bowser's face. He's Mario, if you ever noticed.
Yeah. I always thought he looked like Mario.
He kind of looks like a wacky Mario with his mustache.
He's wacky.
Okay.
And Ingo's Luigi, and she's
too
young.
Yes, I gotcha.
She's not legal.
It makes sense. Okay. Yeah, I always thought he looked a little Mario-ish. I guess I've not played Ocarina. I think the worst part, too, is even though that's one of my favorite games, I think if I had a chance to play it right now, I probably would just get bored of it pretty quickly.
I can't play it anymore. It's just too boring to me. Well, I feel bad because I've beaten the shit out of it, but it's just really hard to play anymore.
Right.
Mostly because there is so much you need to be able to skip, but you can't.
Right. That's the curse of modern gaming.
Yes.
Really, it is. I mean, you know, you go in there and the world is not rendered, you know, high polygon count or anything like that. It still looks good for what it was, but I mean, as far as like captivating the imagination like it did whenever it was new, it's hard for you to do.
Well, that's why I like games like the original Zelda and Shadow of the Colossus. Okay, you're a kid with a sword. Go. Whatever order you want. It's going to be tough for some other places, but you can do it. Whatever order you want, go for it.
I'll dial it back a bit, because I know there's a guy, he's been remaking Ocarina of Time in the Unreal Engine.
For like 10 years.
Well, he's doing it by himself.
Yeah.
But I've seen gameplay of that, and I mean, it takes Ocarina of Time and puts it into modern graphics. And it looks gorgeous.
But
so, I bet if I had a chance to play that fully all the way through, I might do it.
But the sad part about that is by the time he's done with it, it'll look like the Nintendo 64 does to us now.
Right.
I don't know. If you've actually PS6. Seen it, it looks like timeless graphics.
It does look good. I've seen the videos of it.
That's what's good about the Unreal Engine, is that it can look a little dated, but never really too old.
Yeah, I've seen him as in a dungeon, one of the videos I've seen of it. And the fire looks cool against the walls and stuff like that, but...
Well, and then we got ray tracing coming out, so it's like, dude, you gotta show that off. You gotta stop and start over.
Well, with ray tracing, there's probably a way for him to render in certain things, go back through and just take assets that are already there and just have them render automatically, or an auto write script to go back through and render. I don't know. I'm not gonna say that I know exactly how to do all that stuff or anything like that, but I'm sure that there's a way of doing that a little easier than we probably.
Okay, so Random question. I feel like my buddy Rodney for asking this, because it's completely random out of nowhere. But I've always wondered, what are your guys' favorite Zelda dungeons? I know it's not a Zelda podcast, but just out of curiosity. Because nobody can come up with a solitary answer for, like, what's the best one. So what are your favorites?
Do you remember whenever you're... and the... what is it? The Gerudo?
Mm-hmm.
And you're pointing the mirrors.
That's
the Spirit Temple.
Spirit Temple.
Yeah, yeah.
Spirit Temple.
That one has probably some of the best music in the game, and there's a lot of... Mine is the Forest Temple, hands down. Because it's spooky, it's fucking freaky. You have, like, four mini-bosses, and Phantom Ganon is Phantom just Ganon. Amazing.
Yeah.
I have a cup with Phantom Ganon sticking out of it. I love him.
Yeah, that
favorite
was
Zelda boss.
That was your first sense of what the end was going to be like, was mm-hmm. whenever you fought him in the Forest Temple.
And he's even harder in the Forest Temple than at the end.
Yeah.
At the end, you don't have Navi, mm-hmm. but when you fight Phantom Ganon, sometimes if you hit it back, it'll miss. And when he hits it back to you, it gets faster with each consecutive hit until one of you can't keep up with the timing. That is a hard fucking fight.
I used to fight the final form of Ganon with the hammer.
Loved it.
I used to do that, or the big hammer. Yeah, and I also would use the bigger on sword against him too, and just hit him in the tail and stuff.
Apparently, you can beat him with a hook shot if you really wanted to.
Yeah, I would, because I don't remember everything about it. But a lot of times, I think mine's the Fire Temple, because you got your red tunic on, and do you have to beat Volvagia with the Megaton Hammer?
Yes. Well, no. If you have enough arrows, you can technically beat him when he flies out. You can fire him at his tail, and you can fire him at his head, and that will hurt him.
Okay. So, because, once again, I've not played the game in a long time, mm-hmm. but the Fire Temple always sticks out in my mind.
Volvagia is amazing.
That's the first thing that came to my mind when you asked to have mm-hmm. Fire Temple.
That's pretty kick-ass. Can we all agree on the worst temple?
Fucking the water temple. There is no fucking guessing.
That's fine. I was going to say Great Jabu Jabu's belly, but...
God. Carrying her around in that thing.
People bitch about the water temple, but you're not carrying around a fucking... Whatever she is. I hate her.
The princess?
Yeah, that bitch.
She's a Zora, right?
Yeah, she's a Zora.
She's a Zora.
She's a... Well, I don't know if I'm allowed to say that, but... She's a bad word. Begins with C.
Fun fact, you guys might know this, Cookie. But all the sages in Ocarina of Time are all named after the towns in Zelda 2.
Yeah,
I didn't know that until I watched you play it, and I'm like, oh, Ruto, I get it.
Oh, I guess my
oh, wait, Rauru. Darunia.
I think either...
Saria?
Steve told me, or we were watching... It may have been the Angry Video Game Nerd, or there was some random YouTube video we were watching one time, and he was pointing it out, and I'm like... I was like, son of a bitch. I've played both of those a dozen and one times, and I never figured that out. So.
I did start playing the one for Super Nintendo. Which Zelda is that one?
A Link to the Past.
A Link to the Past.
Damn, that's a good game.
I got about 10 minutes into it, but.
Some might say that is a masterpiece all on its own.
I got distracted with other stuff.
It's always tied with Ocarina for which one's the best. I like Ocarina a little more, but I didn't have as much time with
A Link to the Past. A Link to the Past is timeless because it is one of those games. The Super Nintendo has got to be almost the perfect console. Mm-hmm. And I say that because you can put that thing in high res, low res. It still looks good no matter what. Like, it is almost the perfect. Like, there are some NES games that you can try to play today. You're just kind of, Not so much.
There's a lot of them.
Right. But the Super Nintendo, for the most part, most of those games, Super Metroid,
Metroid especially.
When I used the FX chip, it was a little hit and miss at times. But for the most part, the Super Nintendo is almost that perfect console of... It's that old and new. It looks old and it looks new at the same time.
One of my favorite examples of that is Super Star Wars. It really does have that look about it. Like, it's old and new at the same time.
Right.
Plus, you have to fight the entire fucking Animal Kingdom just to get home.
Yeah, no shit. Just jump, 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 jump.
No kidding.
Just do the lightsaber flip over and over again.
The only way you can beat Vader at the end of Empire Strikes Back, I think, is to just jump.
Yeah.
I'm pretty glad you hit him.
I beat all three of those when I was a kid. I loved them to death, but the thing that always drove me nuts was the 3D...
the driving sequences.
Mode 6, yeah.
Yeah.
You're in the land speeder, and now you're in the land speeder in another one. Because you get to play the land speeder in episode 4 and 6, and in Super Star Wars and in Super Return of the Jedi.
And in Empire, you got to do the snow speeder part, didn't you?
Yeah.
Or the, yeah, I know what I mean.
Yeah. I remember you let me borrow them. I beat them here in this other room right over here. Playing in the summer. It's like 6 a.m. The sun's coming up. And there was no AC in that room. So my shirt was just soaked from sweat. But I've been up all night playing them. Just trying to get to Darth Vader. Totally always wanted to fight Vader.
Those are my three Christmas... Like, I got those every year for Christmas. Those were my three consecutive... I got Star Wars, then Empire, then Return of the Jedi. Because they all come out like... Mm-hmm. Just far enough apart that I could get them each year for Christmas, and that was what I always asked for Christmas those years.
You know how we talked about graphics?
Mm-hmm.
I remember going through Toys R Us, and Super Empire Strikes Back was on demo, and you could go up and grab the controller for the Sega Genesis, and you could play it. And I just remember thinking it looked so amazing.
You mean Super Nintendo?
Super Nintendo, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And I just remember thinking how amazing it looked. I was like, oh my God, Luke is so detailed. And the Tauntaun is so cool looking. And today, if you looked at it, you'd be like, oh, what is this, pixel art?
But that's why I brought it, though. It looks new and old at the same time. It feels more timeless.
Right. Well, I look at games and stuff like that do that timeless look.
Mm-hmm.
And we are in a generation now where they don't really diversify themselves at all.
No, and that's why I refuse to play a lot of modern games. Like, Outer Worlds looks to be an outlier in this, but most modern games seem to be just kind of doing the same thing over again.
Right. But, yeah. Do you guys have anything you want to add to this cast?
No, it's been pretty good. What about you, JD?
Nothing I can think of.
Well, it's fine. I mean, we're not forcing you to quit. I mean, seriously, if there's something else you want to cover...
Nah, not at the moment.
We're going to talk about Kung Fu Joe.
It's fine. I have one question. Who'd win in a fight between Mad Dog and Scorpion?
Probably Mad Dog, because he's in the blue. Blue's my favorite color.
There you go. There definitive answer. It's scientific fact.
It's a biased opinion, is what it is. It's fake news, people.
Oh, no.
Here's Mac, because you're a Scorpio.
It's time to end this podcast.
Excuse me.
We already covered all of our grounds as far as where to reach us at. I don't even know how to end this since we've already done that. Oh, okay.
No, that was on the other podcast.
Oh, man, I'm having a time warp. I've got a senior moment.
Let's do the senior moment again.
I'm sorry, what? I just shit myself.
Excuse me.
You can reach us at podcast@gamerda.com.
GamerDA1 on Twitter. That way I don't mess it up this time. Did I mess it up?
No.
Did I do good, Senpai?
Perfect.
Yeah, you did very good.
Perfect.
Exactly. We are on Facebook at Gamers Fresh and Advised. Yep. It's nice and easy.
And we have a website, GamerDA.com. We thank you for listening and hope you guys eat some turkey and have a good Thanksgiving. Thanks.